Beginning current daf Masechet the Shabbos of Kuf Lamed Hey. We begin on the bottom line of Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that although we say we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, specifically to bathe the child on the day of his Bris Milah, both before the Bris Milah and after the Bris Milah, because in the times of the Gemara that was necessary for the safety and the health of the child. However, and this is where our Gemara begins from quoting the Mishnah, Suffik regarding a child that's in doubt, Mandragonus, and another type of a doubt of a child, that it's not clear if he is a male child that requires a Bris Milah because he's androgynous, that is, he has both male and female features, then the halacha was that it's usher to bathe him on Shabbos, to be Mechal Shabbos for him, regarding the Bris Milah. However, Behuda says that it's mutter by an androgynous. Gemara explains this. Turn up and learn the Braisa that will elaborate on the sugya of a suffolk, a child that it's not clear if you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for him regarding the Bris Milah on Shabbos. It says in the Pasuk, Arlosai, his foreskin. That is, the Pasuk says in Yikur Yud Beis that on the eighth day, he will circumcise the flesh of Arlosai, of his foreskin. So the Gemara says, Arlosai vaday doiches haShabbos. In the Pasuk, you see that the definite foreskin of the child is what pushes away the Shabbos. And that is because in that Pasuk is where it says the words, Ubayyemish, on the eighth day. That is the source of where we learn out that your doicha, the Bris Milah is doicha, the halachas of Shabbos, that it says, Bayoyim HaShmini, on the eighth day, whatever day it's going to be. It didn't have to say the word Bayoyim, it could have just said Bashmini. The fact that it says Bayoyim is to say any day, even if the day is going to be Shabbos. At the end of that pasuk is where it says, Arlosai, his Arla. What's the word Arlosai? It's Mashma Miyat, that it's excluding something that only the Arla, the foreskin of this child, not of a different child, which is come to exclude a suffix when it's in doubt, and it's not clear if this is a child of an 8-day old male that requires a Bris Milah, as the Gemara continues on the top of Kovalam Ha'yamad Aleph, that is Veloy Suffolk Dechaz Shabbos. It's only a definite child that's a male that's it's 8th day, but not a Suffolk, not if it's unclear if it's the child in doubt. And the Gemara later is going to explain what is this doubt, because the Gemara right now is going to talk about many different doubts and it's going to delineate all the specifics. So, what's the general child that's in doubt? So, the Braisa continues. As we said before, that it says it has to be his foreskin, this child, that it's Deicha Shabbos, only if it's a definite child. But however, an androgynous is not Deicha Shabbos, because that's also a type of a case of a suffix. It's in doubt if it's a zacher, if it's a male, or it's in the cave, because it has both the simonim, has both the attributes of both a male and a female, so it's not clear. There's such a child you're not Deicha Shabbos for. However, Behuda and Rebuda argues, and he says, Androgynous, as we found in our Mishnah, that he says, is Deiches HaShabbos of Anish Karas? Yes, it is Deiches HaShabbos, and you get Karas if you don't do it. It has all the halachic aspects of a male child to require a Bris Milah, and therefore there is Anish Karas if you don't do it. And the Gemara later on will explain where his source is from. So the Braisa continues, Arlosai vadi deiches haShabbos. Again, as we mentioned before, that only the definite foreskin of a definite child that is a definite male will be deiches the halachas of Shabbos. Loi noilid ben hashmash is deiches haShabbos. However, a child that's born in twilight, going into either Friday or Shabbos, depending, we're not clear if it was day or night, that will not be deiches haShabbos. Although that, let's say, possibly he was born on Shabbos, so then his Bris Milah should be on Shabbos. However, since he was born on twilight, so it's not clear if it was day or night, if it was Friday or Shabbos, then it's not going to be on Shabbos, it's going to be on Sunday. Arlosei vadi deiches haShabbos. Similarly, that only the definite arlo that will be deiches haShabbos. However, loi noilid kshum mol deiches haShabbos. However, if he's born already circumcised without a foreskin, then that's also not going to be Deiches Shabbos. Again, similar like we said about Bein HaShemashes, where it wasn't clear if it was the proper time or not, here the idea is that we're concerned, maybe there's an arla, maybe there is a foreskin that's suppressed over there under the flesh, and it's attached to the skin, therefore we cannot tell. So although he seems to be circumcised, since it's not definite, although we're going to do something, as the Bryce is about to say in one moment, to require this idea, because we're not sure if he's circumcised or not, but that's not going to be done on Shabbos. And again, as we said before, the Gemara later is going to ask, if we said all these cases, what was the first exclusion of a suffix, if they're all cases of a suffix? So as the Braisa continues, as Beishamai say, although this child was born circumcised, it's not clear if he's fully circumcised. And that is why Beishamai requires to draw some blood from this child, the blood of the covenant, and that is because we're concerned that maybe there really is foreskin, but it's just suppressed over there. And still Beishamai is Maida, that it's not going to be Deiches HaShabbos, as we're saying over here, that although there is this suffix element by the child that's born circumcised, a suffix will not be Deiches HaShabbos. However, Beisil say this doesn't even come into the category of suffix, to say that you have to exclude it because such a child that's born circumcised, you do not have to draw any blood, you don't have to do what's called Hatafas Dam Bris, and therefore there's no idea of it being done at all to say that it's going to be excluded from being done in Shabbos. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama in this Machlokes B'Sham Basil regarding a child that's born circumcised, if he has to have on his eighth day to have this Hatafas Dambris to draw some blood. Amr B'Sham Elazar, he argues. He says, Le'nechlikob B'Sham Basil al Noilik Shumal. They didn't argue regarding a child that was born circumcised. Shetzarech L'Hatav Min Dambris. Such a child definitely, yes, requires to have blood drawn in it. As we said before in the opinion of Bishamai, that he says, Basil agrees to B'Nisha Arli Kavushi. It is the foreskin that's suppressed over there, and therefore you have to draw some blood to be mekayim the mitzvah of Mila. Aman Nechlikob. So in what case do they, yes, argue? Al-Gershon is Garek Shumal, regarding a convert that converted when he was already circumcised, where there is no doubt about him being an Arla, having a foreskin, for example, an Arab that they circumcised themselves, and therefore he's definitely circumcised. So there, what is the Machlekes over there? Where even there, where there's no Suffolk regarding the Mitzvah of Mila, he is circumcised. But still, part and parcel of the Mitzvah of Mila is to draw some blood, as we brought on the previous Da from a pasuk in Nach that says that part of the covenant is to draw some blood. Basil says no, he is circumcised already. There's no element, there's no chiyev to drawing the blood of the breast. So therefore, he argues in the opinion and he says that everyone agrees that you have to take off, that there has to be atovas dam bris by an 8-day-old child. And the whole machlik is regarding a convert that is definitely circumcised, and there is no suffix that they basil hold that you're not required to. So the Gemara goes back to explain the Braisa. The first case we said, Omar, V'loi Safik Deichas HaShabbos. Again, we said many exclusions of Arla Soi, his foreskin, which is only a definite, but we excluded all these cases of Ben HaShmashis, and when he's born circumcised, and there's androgynous, all these cases, it's unclear, there's a doubt. That's not Deichas HaShabbos. So what was the first case of V'loi Safik Deichas HaShabbos? We went and said all the cases. What's the general idea of the doubt? So the Gemara says, Lasuyi Mai, what's this coming to include? Is Lasuyi Ho the Tanabon is coming to include this that we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Ben Shiva Mechalden Loves the Shabbos. A child that was born in the seventh month of his mother's pregnancy. Such a child is a viable child. And therefore, when he's born, you Mechal for this child Shabbos regarding his Bris Mila. Uben Ches, in Mechalden Loves the Shabbos. Regarding a child that's born in the mother's eighth month, at least in the times of the Gemara, such a child was not viable. And therefore, this child is like a dead body, and therefore there's no mitzvah to do mila on such a child, and therefore such a bris mila is not a mitzvah to be decha the law of Shabbos. And Rashi says that although it shouldn't be a chil Shabbos either, because then it's just like cutting a dead piece of meat, like you cut a piece of chicken on your plate, where there's no problem. Rashi says, correct, the Gemara later on the next daf is going to say that the chil would be regarding the preparations of the mitzvah mila, only according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that he says you're allowed to do the machshir mila on Shabbos. That would be a problem regarding a child born in the eighth month, because since it's not a viable child, therefore there is no mitzvah mila, and therefore all the preparations of chopping wood and burning it to make the actual mila knife, which are malachas deraisis, which although is permitted in the case of a real mila, here since it's not a mitzvah mila, it would be a problem for a child born in the eighth month. However, this is the main idea what we brought in this braisa. Safik ben zayin, safik ben ches. If there's doubt, if it's a child born in the seventh month, which is viable, or a doubt if he's born in the eighth month, which is not viable, that's the case of safik we were alluding to in the braisa, that there in mechalam as a Shabbos, there we will not desecrate the Shabbos for him. And that's the case of doubt, where it's a doubt if he's viable or not. So now the braisa concludes and says, ben shmoina, a child born in the eighth month, we said Harei Ukeven is like just like a stone, like a rock. Vasatalda, you can't move him. He's totally mukta because he's not a viable child. However, there is a hetravel imoy sheicha manikase. The mother's allowed to bend down and nurse the child mnehasakan because of danger to the mother. That is because she has so much milk in her breast, it might cause her to get sick, and therefore we're not concerned that she might come to move the child, which is always a concern with a mukta item. So since she's not moving him, she's just putting herself over it, which allows the child to nurse. That's mukta because of the danger that could come to the mother. So itmar lahalocha, the Gemara says, Rav Amar halocha ketanakama. Now halocha follows the tanakama in his interpretation of Beis Hill, which says that you don't have to draw any blood from a child if a child is born mohol, if he's born circumcised, where there the Tanakhama says it is a machlekes Beisil B'Shamay, and Beisil hold that you're not required to draw any blood, that Rav says the halacha follows that interpretation in the opinion of Beisil, like the Tanakhama said. Ushmul omar halacha k'b'shem elaza. However, Shmuel says no. Halacha follows the second opinion in the Braisa we brought just before, like k'b'shem elaza, that Beisil agreed that yes, a child that's born circumcised, you have to draw some blood. And only that Beisil were arguing regarding a convert, there is where Beisil said that you don't have to draw blood. However, they agree regarding a child. So the Gemara brings a story related to this. Rav Adar Bar Hava is yolid lehahu yinuka kashu mal. Rav Adar Bar Hava had a child that was born to him, circumcised. Ahadri atleisim haloi. He went and brought a child to 13 different moilim that he wanted them to draw blood of the dam bris, but they didn't want it because it was Shabbos. And even according to the opinion of Bishamai, all that we said, that although he says that you're required to draw blood, but it's still a suffix, a case of doubt, which we said in the previous brisa, that even Bishamai would agree that you're not machal Shabbos. However, he went and he wanted someone to draw the blood of the dam bris, and no one wanted to do no mile. At the Shavi Kurei Shivcha, he made his own son into a child that was a Kurei Shivcha that can't have children. He ruined his male member. And that is because he himself did the circumcision, and he went and cut off part of the gid, part of the aver. So Amar, he said, tastily, like they say, it's coming to me, the Avri Adirav, because I went and transgressed the opinion of Rav, that he said that the halach is like the Tanakh Kama in the opinion of Basil, that you don't have to draw blood on the child that's circumcised. And from the fact that I wanted it to be done, it's coming to me because I was over on these things and now I ruined my child. So Amalei Rav Nachman said, what do you mean? You only were over on Rav Ad Shmuel or Rav, and you didn't transgress the opinion of Shmuel, who argues? When did Shmuel say that Basil agree that you are chayv to do atavas damris to draw the blood? That's only during the weekday. B'Shabbos Miyamer, did he ever say that you would do it on Shabbos? As we said, even in the opinion of B'Shamai, it's still a suffix, it's still a case of doubt. And we have from Arla's side that it's only the definite for a skin that is Mechal Shabbos. But a case of doubt, which is in such a case, like we said, about a child that's born circumcised, but it's only a doubt if there is a suppressed, if there is some Arla that's there that we can't see. Only there that we say that on the weekday you would do it, but not on Shabbos. So therefore, not only do you transgress Rav, you even transgress the opinion of Shmuel, who holds that Basil says you have to do it, but not on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, but whosoever, Rav Ada held that he didn't go wrong according to Shmuel. Because Vaday Arla Kavushi, according to the opinion of Shmuel, it's not that maybe there is a suppressed Arla of foreskin over there that we just don't see, but rather it's definite, and therefore since it's definite Arla, that according to Shmuel you would be Mechal Shabbos because it's like a regular bris milah, and that's why he felt he wasn't over on Shmuel, he was just over on Rav. As the Gemara brings Deidma, that this is a machlokes regarding this opinion of the doing that toughest down bris, because if it's maybe that there's a foreskin, or that because there's definitely a foreskin. As we learned, that Rabbah Amar Cheshinon Shema Arla Kavushi. Rabbah says that we're just concerned that maybe there is an Arla there that's pushed in that we just don't see. That is according to Rabbi Shimon Laza, that he says, according to everybody, that you have to draw the blood, that's only out of doubt. And therefore, during the weekday, we'll say you have to do it because, again, maybe there is Arla Kavushi. But regarding Shabbos, you definitely knock the Mechal Shabbos on the suffix of a doubt. That Rabbi Yosef Amar, and that's what Ravid was coming from, Vaday Arla Kavushi, that it's a definite Arla that's there, and therefore you are Mechal Shabbos. And again, that's where Ravid felt that he didn't go wrong according to the opinion of Shmuel, but that it was coming to him that he ruined his child because of the opinion of Rav that he didn't follow. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, says, Menominila, from where do I know this, that it's a definite Arla that we're concerned about here, not that it's a suffix? The time, like we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Lazar Kapar Omer, Loi Nechleku Beisham Beisil Al Noilik Shumal. They didn't argue regarding a child that's born circumcised should tzarech lahatav min dam bris. Like the other opinion that you definitely, like Rabbi Shimon Laza said, that you had to for sure draw the blood of the dam bris. Aman nechleku, what was their machlokes l'chalav es haShabbos regarding desecration of the halachas of Shabbos? And that b'sham oimim mechalav es haShabbos. B'sil oimim ein mechalav es haShabbos, that you don't desecrate. So that everyone agrees that you definitely have to do it, the way Rabbi Lazar Kapper is saying it, that the only question was regarding if you mechal Shabbos in it. So that Rabbi Yosef was inferring as follows. Lav mechlal the Tanakama, cannot you infer that the opinion of the Tanakama that argues on Rabbi Lazar Kapper, that Savar mechal nefes Shabbos, that he held that everybody holds that you mechal Shabbos. And I, says Rabbi Yosef, I'm saying like him, and therefore you see an opinion that you definitely are required to do it because there's a definite Arla here, and that's why you would be Mechal Shabbos according to B'Shami and B'Sil. It's just Rabbi Lazar Kapper was saying that no, that they do argue. But it's obvious that the time they come held that no, you don't argue, and everyone agrees that you are Mechal Shabbos. Which Gemara asks, wait a second. How do you know that the time they come held that according to everybody, you definitely are Mechal Shabbos because there's a definite Arla here? Maybe it's the other way around. Rabbi Lazar Kapper says they argue. But the Tanakhama holds because everyone agrees that you are not Mechal Shabbos in that. On that, the Gemara answers, wait a second. Im Kain, if that would be the case, Rabbi Elazar Kapper, Tami to Bishami, Oslash Mina, is Rabbi Elazar Kapper coming to explain to us the opinion of Bishami? And that is, if the previous Tanna, the Tanna Kama, held that according to everybody, you're not Machal Shabbos. Yes, everyone agrees you have to do it, but it's a case of a doubt. You're not going to Machal Shabbos. So that means when Rabbi Elazar Kapper is coming to argue and he says that no, it's not according to everybody that you're not Machal Shabbos, because according to Bishami, you are Machal. What type of chiddush is he saying? That Bishami argues? Who cares? Bishami Bebaka Mesil is not a Mishnah. We don't hold that the opinion of Bishami is significant. Why would he go out of his way to say that it's not unanimous, to say because there's the opinion of Bishami? We disregard the opinion of Bishami regarding halacha. So why would he say it? Obviously, it's because, like Rav Yehuda was saying, the way I said, because Tanna Kamma holds according to everybody, you are Machal Shabbos. And then Rabbi Elazar Kapper says, no, Bishil argue, and they say, you're not Machal Shabbos. That's necessary to say. But how could you say the way you're saying? Another thing where it says, no. They're still saying that the raya from Rav Yosef is not definite. Because Dilma Hacha Kama, maybe this is what Rabbi Elazar Kapper was saying. That Bisham Basil never argued about this idea. And that is, the teretz that the Gemara is saying is, maybe what Rabbi Elazar HaKapa was telling Tanna Kamma was that regarding Shabbos, everybody agrees that you're not Machal. And the Machloikis was regarding the weekday. That according to Basil, you don't have to draw blood from it. That's what you want to say, because you're saying that there nobody argues that you're not Machal Shabbos. So then what is the Machloikis? Obviously there's a Machloikis that you're talking about regarding the weekday, if you have to do it or not. But that's not true, because no one argues on that. Rather, you definitely, Zokter B'Lazar Kapper, that you have to draw the blood. And their Machloikis was regarding Shabbos. However, the main intent of Rabbi Elazar Kapper is coming to explain the opinion of Beis Hill that during the weekday you do require to do that Tavas Dam Bris. That's coming to exclude from the opinion of Tanna Kamma that he held that according to Beis Hill you don't have to draw the blood even during the weekday, and therefore there's no right to Rabbi Yosef that is a definite Arla Kavusha, because maybe it's really a suffix in what Rabbi Elazar Kapper was coming to tell Tanna Kamma. Although you say that the Machloikis was regarding the weekday and that they both agree that you're not Machal Shabbos, that's not true, because Beis Hill agreed during the weekday that you do have to do it, and it's only on Shabbos that Bishami would hold, but that's not the point. Bishami hold you Mechal Shabbos, and Bishil hold that you're not Mechal the Shabbos. So now the Gemara goes and starts a new topic. Amar Basi, Kol She'imai Tamei Leida, wherever you have a mother that becomes ritually impure, she becomes tummy from the Tumah of Leida of giving birth, which says in the Torah that a woman that gives birth becomes tummy, Nima L'Shmaina, then the child has his bris milah on the eighth day. But where the mother does not become tummy from giving birth, for example, what's called Yetzer Daifin, which is a cesarean, when the child's not born in a vaginal birth, rather comes out through the mother's stomach, or when there's a non-Jewess that gives birth to a child, then the next day she becomes a Jew. So although the child now is only 2 days old or 3 days old, it's not the eighth day yet, then the child does not have the bris milah on the eighth day. Rather, the child gets the bris milah right away. Again, so if it's a cesarean, the child gets a bris right away. And similarly, regarding if a woman became a Jewess when the day after she gave birth, the child now is not going to wait for the eighth day, it's going to be right away. Shanema, how do you know that the old idea of having waiting 8 days to have the bris milah is only by a woman that has the tumah of leida? Shanema, like it says in the pasuk, if a woman will emit seed and then will give birth to a male, but Temeah says she will become richly impure, and then it ends the pasuk. And then the pasuk continues, and then the eighth day you will circumcise the flesh of his foreskin. From there you see, from the fact that it puts it together, when only when the woman gets tumas leida, again when it's a regular vaginal birth from a Jewish woman, then the milah is on the eighth day. But if she was non-Jewish, or if it wasn't a vaginal birth, if it came through the stomach, then you won't wait for the eighth day, you'll do it right away. That the Gemara asked, I'm like, Baya, I don't understand. Darius Rishay Mechichu, let the previous generations prove, that is from Avraham Avinu, who was the first one to do the bris milah, all the way till Matan Torah, that they had the mitzvah milah, and yet they didn't have the halachas of tumah applying to them yet. As the Gemara says, She'eini mitumei leida, all their mothers did not become the tumah of leida, they didn't have tumah when they gave birth, and yet we know that v'nimu l'shmaina, they all gave birth on the eighth day. So therefore, how can you say that it's totally zeh b'zeh, that it depends only if you have tumas leida, that you have the milah on the eighth day? So Malehi responded, Ravasi answered Tabaya, Nas Natar, when the Torah was given, and we continue on to Amud Beis, yes, then things changed, and then the halacha was new, that is, then we said a new concept that only someone, that the mother becomes tumah from the birth, then such a child gets the milah on the eighth day, however, not by the other ones. You're right, before the Torah was different, once the Torah was given, this was introduced in the parasha of Isha Ki Sazria, that only if a woman has tumah later, that there the birth is on the eighth day. And then the Gemara asked, Ini, is that really so? Is it true what you're saying? Wait a minute, but we learned. Yetzer Daifin, if a child comes out through the stomach, which through the wall literally, which means that he was cesarean and not through the vagina, Or a child that has two foreskins. There's a machlekes amaram. One says that you desecrate the child on Shabbos to do the bris milah. And one says that you're not machal. So the Gemara says, Adkan loy pligi el lachal of Shabbos. The whole machlekes regarding these amaram, and one of the cases was the Syrian, was only for machal Shabbos to do a bris milah on such a child. But definitely we see that they're going to do it on the eighth day, and that is although one of the cases was a Yetzidayf in Sicilian where there is no Tumas Leda, there the whole Machlikis was, will the eighth day be enough of an element to be Mechal Shabbos? But when it's not Shabbos, we see definitely you're going to do it on the eighth day, and not like you said that when there's no Tumas Leda, you're going to do it right away. And that the Gemara says, no, Habaha Talia, they're interdependent. And that is the whole idea of their machlokes of Chil Shabbos is the same concept if they have the bris milah on the eighth day. Because a child that has the milah on the eighth day, such a child is Deicha Shabbos. And the child that does not have it on the eighth day, that's not Deicha Shabbos. Because when it says in the Pasuk, Uvayayim HaShmini, on the eighth day, that is the source where we learn out that it's Deicha Shabbos. That's only when it's on the eighth day. But a child that's on the second day, that child will not be Deicha Shabbos. And therefore, this machlokes to have regarding Chil Shabbos, it's not that it's unanimous that everyone agrees that will be done on the eighth day, just if the eighth day was Mechal Shabbos. To the contrary, that is the Machlokes. And therefore, there is an opinion that will say that only if there's going to be on the eighth day that you're going to Mechal Shabbos, but if it's not, if it's on the second day, then there won't be Mechal Shabbos. So there are those, including Yitzhak Daifin, that will not be on the eighth day. On that, the Gemara says, in truth, not only is this a Machlokes Amirom, rather Kitanoi. This opinion of Rav Asi, that Mila is Toli, if it's going to be that the woman will have a tumas leida, will have tumah when she gives birth, is really machlekes tanoim, and that is the Gemara is going to bring a raisa that talks about the inyan of avadim of slaves that require the bris milah, and that is there's two psukim that talk about slaves which require milah, and both psukim are talking about two different types of slaves. One is what's called a yelid bias. One is that born by the Jewish master's home, and one is what was called a miknas kasa. One is that acquired with money. It wasn't born in the Jew's home. So there's two psukim, and each pasuk talks about these two types of avodim. One pasuk says regarding the eighth day doing the milah, and one doesn't say that. That there's a pasuk in Bereishis Yud Zayin that says, "Himol yimol yilid beischa u'miknas kasbacha." It talks about both the avodim. You should circumcise those slaves that are born in your house and those that which were acquired for money. But it doesn't say anything about being done on the eighth day. Yet there's another pasuk that says, "Uven shmoinas yomim yimolachem kol zochel dairisechem," that on the eighth day you will circumcise for yourself all the males for your generations, yilid bayis or miknas kesef, those which are born in your house and those which are acquired with money. So therefore we have, again, two different psukim talking about both types of slaves, one saying the eighth day and one not talking about the eighth day. So it makes sense that the one that specifies that it should be on the eighth day is similar to a full-fledged Jewish child. And that is a type of a slave that was born in the house of the Jewish owner from when it was acquired. Because that would be similar to the terminology used in the pasuk of Lochem. As it says there in the pasuk, which that's the pasuk which specifies that it should be on the eighth day. It says, Yimoy Lochem kol zachar, that you should circumcise for yourselves, for your males. And then that pasuk ends off, Yilid bayis and miknas kesef. So therefore, those which are going to be on the eighth day are those which are similar to the Jewish child, which is that they're born by the Jewish master's home. And therefore, in the case when you purchase a maidservant, a non-Jewish woman that's pregnant and she gives birth, that is, in a sense, miknas kesef. That's one that's purchased with money because the embryo is a complete child. It's just in the mother's stomach, and therefore you purchased the child, and that type of child will be circumcised on the eighth day, because again, that's similar to the concept of lechem, similar to a child like by you, which is born in the Jewish person's home. So therefore here also, it's in a sense similar, although it's miknas kesem. Again, since it was born in the Jewish person's home, that would be a child that's going to be circumcised on the eighth day. However, if you buy a maidservant that has her child with her, that is, she already gave birth to him, and that is, let's say, the day after the birth, then she gets and she's acquired by her master, by her Jewish master. So although it wasn't 8 days yet from when she gave birth, that type of a child you're going to circumcise right away. As it says in the pasuk, himol yimol, that's the one that doesn't mention the eighth day. Because that type of child is not similar to lachem, to the Jewish type of child. Because here he wasn't born in the Jewish person's home. He was acquired separately, and therefore the bris milah would be right away. Then, if let's say you purchase a maidservant, and then she only becomes pregnant once she's already in the Jewish person's home, then that's not considered that you purchased, that's not miknas kesef of the of the embryo. Rather, it was a yelid bayis. It was totally born. It was conceived and born in the Jewish person's home. That will be a child that will be circumcised on the eighth day. That will be, because that's similar to lechem, that's yours. That is the case of yelid bayis that's circumcised on the eighth day. Then the Gemara later will explain what is the fourth case of having a yelid bayis, a child, a slave, that's born in the Jewish person's home, but yet is not circumcised on the eighth day, only on the first day, according to the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. So now the Gemara explains like this. And the Gemara is going to show how there's a machlekes in this braisa, which will be tully in this opinion of Rav Safra, of Rav Asi, if the Tomas Leida will be the factor which requires that the bris milah to be done on the eighth day or not. So the braisa begins. Yesh yilid bayis shenimah le'echad. As we mentioned before, there's four types of cases. There's the yilid bayis, the slave that's born in a Jewish person's home, and the one of the miknas kesef, one that's acquired. Both, there's each one that's a case of when it's going to be on the first day, when it's on before the eighth day, and then there's both these cases which are born on the eighth day. So that's two times two. There's four types of cases. So the Braith says there's a slave of a yelid bayis, one that's born in the Jewish person's home, shenimah le'echad. It's circumcised on the first day. And then there's a second case, v'yesh yelid bayis shenimah le'shmoneh, but then there's a case of a Jewish, of a servant that's born in the Jewish person's home that is only circumcised on the eighth day. Then the third case is Yesh Miknas Kesef Shenimel Echad. There's a case of an acquired slave that's circumcised on the first day. Yesh Miknas Kesef Shenimel Echad. Then there's an acquired slave that's circumcised on the eighth day. Now the Gemara, the Brisa will explain what these cases are. Yesh Miknas Kesef Shenimel Echad. Again, there's an acquired slave that's circumcised on the first day, meaning before day eight. Yesh Miknas Kesef Shenimel Echad. And yet there's an acquired slave that's circumcised on the eighth day. Ketzad, how is this? So the Brisa elaborates, which we spoke about just before. If you purchase a maidservant that's already pregnant, and then once she's in the Jewish person's home, then she gives birth. That is the type of an acquired slave that's circumcised on the eighth day. Again, as we explained, because that's similar to lechem, because when you, although it's purchased, because the child was already he was a full-fledged embryo in the mother's stomach, so you acquired him. He wasn't born in your home, so it was acquired. But however, it's very similar to lechem, because he was born ultimately in the Jewish person's home. So that's going to be on the eighth day as lechem is. However, if you purchased a slave woman with her child, with her, he's already born, that's going to be an acquired slave that gets circumcised on day one, even if he's not 8 days old yet, because he's not similar to a Jewish child which is born in the Jewish person's home. Then the yesh yilid bayis. Then there's the other category of one which is born in the Jewish person's home, shenimah lishmoina, which is circumcised on the eighth day. Ketzad, what type of case is that? That's lokach shivchav and esabra eslabiyalda. If you purchase a slave woman that's not pregnant, then she becomes pregnant already in the Jewish person's home, and then she gives birth. Zehi yilid bayis and nimah lishmoina. That is a slave that was born in the Jewish person's home, which gets circumcised on day eight. And again, he didn't explain what is the other case of yilid bayis that's circumcised on day one. That will be explained later on the Gemara. However, Rav Chama Omer, he argues and he says, regarding this yilid bayis, yolda achakach etfila. If the maidservant first gave birth, but then she was immersed, she did her tefillah, which is what's necessary to become an eved kanani, to become a maidservant, only then does she have a chalois, an effect of the name of having a shivchas yisrael, only then will she be obligated in all the mitzvahs that a regular Jewish woman is obligated in, which means only then will she have tumas leida, meaning only after she had the tefillah. That is like Rav Asi, that he says, Zehu yilid bayis shenimah le'echad. That is the type of a child that will be circumcised on day one. And that is because when she gave birth, she didn't have yet tumas leida, because she only immersed herself after she gave birth. So then we won't wait for day eight. Again, like Rav Asi said, because since when she gave, although she was already acquired, but she gave birth before she had her tefillah, so then the child will not be waiting for day eight, because again, day eight, according to Rav Asi, is dependent, is totally in the fact of Tumas Leida, and since she didn't immerse it, she didn't have the halachas of a Jewish woman yet, and therefore she doesn't have Tumas Leida, and hence the bris is on day one, not day eight. However, hitvila v'achkach yolda, if she was first immersed, and therefore she became a full-fledged Jewish slave woman, and then she gave birth, v'achkach yolda, zehu yilid bayis hanim l'shmein, that is the type of child that is circumcised on day eight. Again, that is like the opinion of Rav Asi. But Tanakama, over the Tanakama, he argues, he doesn't differentiate between having her immersing in the mikveh first and then giving birth, ben yoldav acher kach tefila, or whether giving birth and then afterwards having the tefila. And that is because the afagav de eini moy tamei leida, because he holds that even if the mother does not become tamei from the birth, nimalishmain is still, the child will be circumcised on day 8. Again, that is not like Rav Asi, and that is what we said before, that not only is Rav Asi's opinion a machlekes amiram, but it's a machlekes tanoim again, if the tumas leida will be the factor defining if you're going to have the bris milah on day 8, or even before. That depends on machlekes. Do you need that ingredient of tumas leida, which regarding a cesarean that there's no tumas leida, will that be on day 1, or that will be even on day 8 as a machlekes tanoim? Now the Gemara goes back to explain the brisa. So Bishlam and Reb Chama, it's very well understood, according to the opinion of Reb Chama, that he differentiated between the slave woman immersing in the mikveh, becoming a full-fledged Jewish woman in halacha, and then giving birth, to giving birth and then having her tefillah. So therefore, you're going to have all the four cases we spoke about. Mishkachas lo yilid bayis nima le'echad. We're going to have the case of the child born in the Jewish person's home, which is going to have the bris milah on day 1. Again, because that's talking about a child that first had the birth, and then she had a tefillah, so therefore shouldn't she doesn't have tumas leida because she wasn't a Jewish woman yet, although she was already acquired, and the child was born over there, but it wasn't like a regular Jewish woman. So there in the mikveh, the milah is going to be on day 1. The second case, yilid bayis nima leches, you have the case of the child that is going to be circumcised on the 8th day. You have the third case of miknas kesev nima leechad, of the acquired slave that's circumcised on day 1. And you have a miknas kesev nima leches, and you have the acquired child, the acquired slave, that's circumcised on day 8, as the Gemara explains right now. How do you have all these four cases? So like we said, yoldav acha kacha tefillah, if she first gives birth, and then only afterwards does she have the tefillah, which is that she wasn't a full-fledged Jewish woman to have tumas leida when she gave birth. Zehu yilid bayis nima leechad, that is the Jewish child that has the bris milah right away on day 1. Because you don't have, like Rav Asi said, tumas leida to require it to be on day 8, as the pasuk says, isha kisses ri. It's only when there's tumah that's going to be on b'yom hashmini. Hitvila v'achkach yoldo, if she first had her immersion in the mikveh and then she gave birth, zehu yilid bayis nima leches. That's the type of child that was born in the Jewish person's homeowner's house that is going to be on day 8 because she did have tumas leida when she gave birth to him. The third case, a miknas kesev nima leshmaina, when do you have an acquired slave that's circumcised on day 8? Kugun shalokach shifchu muberes v'hitvila v'achkach yoldo. Like we said, for example, if you bought a pregnant slave woman, that is, and then she immersed, and then she gave birth. So that is like Rav Asi, that in that case, you're going to have tumas leida. So although you acquired the slave, because he was an embryo ready when before you bought him, so you acquired him as miknas kesev, but still it's going to be a day 8, because the mother had tumas leida when she gave birth to him, and therefore that's like Rav Asi. And you have the fourth case of miknas kesev nima le'echad, an acquired slave that's circumcised on day 1. That's kugun shalokach zeh shivcha, when there were two owners. One purchased the slave woman, v'zeh ubra, one purchased the embryo, and since the owner of the embryo doesn't have any portion in the mother because a different Jewish person bought the mother, so again, that's not similar to lechem, like the pasuk says, that for it to be circumcised on day 8, which is similar to him lechem kol zacha, has to be like you don't have, because a regular Jewish woman that's giving birth has that relationship with the husband and the child. Here where the mother is not acquired by the slave owner, that's not going to be like lechem, and there it's going to be right away. So if we understand this according to the opinion of Reb Chama, or Tanakama, according to Tanakama, so as he himself went through all the three cases, Bishlam Akula Mishkachas Lo, we have all the cases. However, there's one that's missing. Eli Lid Bayis Nimala Echad Hecha Mishkachas Lo. According to Tanakama, how do you have a case of a child, of a slave born in a Jewish person's home, that the Bris Milah is going to be on day 1? How can you have that? And that is because it definitely is like Lochem. And that is since there is no tumas leida, that it should be a factor. So you don't have this differentiation that Reb Chama did to make out this fourth case, which is talking about that when there was no tumas leida, then it's going to be right away. Because according to the Kama, that's not a factor. You always do on day 8, even by cesarean, even by a Jewish woman that gave birth, and then the child would, if the child was born and then she became a Jewish woman, it doesn't make a difference. You're always going to be on day 8. And therefore, how do you have this case of having it on day 1, if it's always yilid bayis, it was born in a Jewish person's home, it should be on day 8. So Amar B'Yirmi, we have it in the case of Lekech Shivcha L'Ubra. If you purchase the slave woman just for the embryo, and that is even if you purchase this slave woman from a Jewish homeowner, and that is she already has tumas leida because she already immersed herself, she's a regular Jewish woman now, but it's still not lechem, Because since you don't have any chelik in the mother, you didn't purchase the mother, you only purchased the embryo as a slave. Therefore, when he's born, that's not lochem. And therefore, it's going to be day one because it has to be at least lochem, which is to be on the day eight. And here's not lochem because you don't have anything with the mother. You only purchased the child. And that the Gemara asks, ha-nicha, that only makes sense. L'mand omar kinyan peris lavka kinyan goftomi. That there's a machloikis between Rosh Lakish and Yechidon and the Masechtas Baba Basra that says if the kinyan of the peris, of purchasing the produce, which is the derivatives of an item, the usage of it, the utility of an item, if that's considered like purchasing the object itself. You didn't purchase the object, but all its utility you purchased. So therefore, according to the one that says that purchasing the produce, the utility, is not like purchasing the item itself, so that makes sense, because although you purchased the child, which is on the payris of the slave one, but you didn't purchase her, so since you don't have her, so it's not like lochem, it's not the same, because you have nothing to do with the mother. But according to that pen that says that purchasing all the derivatives of an object is like owning it in practical terms, it's just, although factually you don't own it, but in halacha we view it as if you own it. So what can you say? Because here it is as if you did purchase the mother, because although you purchased only for the embryo, but that is what the mother produces, and therefore since you own what she produced, you own her, at least in that element, in that factor. So therefore it should be considered lachem, and therefore according to Tanakama, it should be the bris milah on day 8, even in this type of case. So therefore, Amar of Masharshia, the case that we're talking about is, if you purchase the slave woman with the intent and the specific idea of that you're not going to immerse her in the mikvah. So therefore the mother has no application, no relationship at all to being obligated in the mitzvahs. And that is she has, there is no element of here of lechem at all. Because again, lechem, although you will possibly be owning her regarding her kinyan peres, but since it's not like lechem because she's not a Jewish woman at all, because you're not purchasing her to immerse her in the mikvah, you just wanted it for other things and for the child, and therefore it's not going to be like lechem, which has the mother being Jewish, and therefore you're not going to, and therefore according to everybody, you have over here a resolution for the four different types of cases, for the yelid bias, two different types of cases, one that will be on day one, day eight, and then you have miknas kesef, two cases, one that's going to be day one, and one that's going to be on day eight.